chapter 10. And we'll read the message. The title of the message is called Let Us. Let Us. Just two words, let us. And we'll start with verse 22. Well, let's start with 19 so we can keep it all kind of together here. In Hebrews 10:19. Yeah. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Okay. You know, that holy place by the blood of Jesus. The holy place was a, you know, the tabernacle. You had the, you know, you had the curtain all the way around or the whatever, and then you could go into it, and it was a kind of an open courtyard where you, the animals were sacrificed and different things. And then if you walked into this inner tent, then you had the holy place. And in there you had, you know, different things. You had the table of showbread, and you had candles. You had incense, you know. You had different things there. And then there was a real thick curtain, you know. And I've read over the years about this curtain. It wasn't like one of these little curtains you got hanging in your windows. This was a big, heavy-duty curtain. I mean, I've read someplace where it was like 4 to 6 inches thick or something. How deep? 3 feet thick. Can you imagine trying to, you know, tear a curtain that's feet thick, so many feet thick or whatever, right? It would be impossible, right? When Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was split. It was rent or split right in half, so that, you know, that was showing that you know, basically by the blood of Jesus that we could, you know, enter into the most holy place, you know, by the blood of Jesus. But only once a year, the high priest, he had to go through a whole bunch of ceremonial stuff and kill a bull and wash and put on certain clothes. It was a whole deal. And he could go in there once a year. That's it. And the tradition has that they tied a rope around his ankle. And inside there was the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, the Ark of the Covenant had two angels on top and their wings kind of touched almost. And that's where the presence of the Lord was at. It was right there over the, right over the top there, you know, was called the mercy seat. And so it's a big deal, you know, that the priest could only go in there once a year, only him, nobody else. If he did anything wrong, he drops dead. Thus, the rope to pull him out, because anybody that went in to get him drops dead, and so on and so forth. Remember the story where David had the Ark of the Covenant, he was bringing it back from the enemy, the Philistines, or whoever had it, and it hit a bump, and it looked like the ark might fall off, and some guy touched it to try to steady it, instantly drops dead. Nobody can touch that ark, you understand? And of course, David got all mad about that, but that's it. I mean, come on, if that's where God's at, you don't have to worry about him falling off the cart, right? I mean, God is God. Anyway, therefore, brothers, verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, it's not just the priests once a year that can go in there. We can go in there. Amen? If you're born again, new creature in Christ Jesus, and you covered by the blood, you can go into the most holy place. Amen. Where only the priest could go once a year. And by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Draw near. Remember that. Draw. Let us draw near. The name of this message is let us. Let us. Those two words, let us. It's in here about 4 or 5 times. Let us. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now verse 23, let us, again, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Amen? Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what day is that? That's the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's wrath. I mean, that's the end. See, and as we look around, I don't know if it's going to happen this month, next year, but things are sure getting bad, aren't they? But that's an important scripture there. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but let's encourage one another. You know, by just coming to church, you can encourage. Just the fact that you're there encourages other people. Amen. What if you came to church and there was nobody there? That'd be discouraging, wouldn't it? Just the fact that you're there, you're a brother or sister in the Lord, and you believe, you love the Lord, that encourages people, just, you know, just that alone. So we're going to kind of go back over that, kind of line by line a little bit, and talk about that. The thing is, I've been thinking a lot about, I keep thinking about this, you know, the word apostasy. Okay, you know, it talks in the Bible, in the end times, it talks about the great falling away. That's the apostasy. Okay, that's standing back away from God or falling away from God. Okay, and you know, I felt like the Lord said, you know, so many Christians think, oh, that could never happen to me. I'm immune, okay, from that kind of stuff. I would never fall away. But look around us. Look at the world. I mean, it's, you know, it's an epidemic of people in our country just totally walking away from God. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I read in the paper where, I don't know if they put them back, but, you know, this is Memorial Day weekend, right, for our fallen soldiers and those who died and all that. And, yeah, you always put up crosses or some places to kind of remember them. Of course, atheists and everybody comes flying out of the woods and underneath rocks protesting about the crosses, and they're trying to stop everything. You know, it has to do with God and Christianity. The whole country's kind of going like that. Now it's, don't you dare mention religion or God. You know, what are you trying to do to our kids, you know? Well, we're trying to save our kids is what we're trying to do. We're trying to teach them about God, you know. And so, but this apostasy thing, this falling away is a dangerous thing. And no one, the Lord said, I felt like he said to me, no individual is absolutely immune from this thing, okay. And it doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up one morning and go, I don't want nothing to do with God or Jesus. I'm not, you know, ever going to read my Bible, go to church anymore. That's it. You know, it's not just happens instantly. It's something that I think that comes on kind of gradually. You know what I'm saying? And this scripture here, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, okay? As opposed to, you see, well, this thing starts a little bit at a time. Like, it's like it'll say about frogs. Anybody ever eat frog legs? Yeah, man, they're good. I guess what, tastes like chicken or something? Huh? Lots of ketchup? Well, they say if you take a frog and you put them in cool water, put them on the stove and turn it on low, let it build up slow, that frog will stay in there. You can cook them, okay? But if you take that frog and throw him in some hot water that's already boiled, he jumps right out. Okay, and that's the way it happens, is little by little, you know, we kind of get deceived in ourselves. We think we're immune from this, and we, you know, well, you know, I'm going to kind of, I'm not just interested in going to church anymore. I'm kind of bored with it. Okay, so then you just come once in a while, and then you notice, you know, if you don't read your Bible hardly at all anymore. You know what I'm saying? You kind of stop reading your Bible. Because, you know, I got so many other things that's more fun to do than read my Bible. You kind of, all of a sudden, you don't just have any interest at all in praying. You know what I'm saying? You see how, you know, is how it works. Is little by little you start, you know, losing your interest in your your fire for God. Okay? And little by little, you just start drifting away. You don't go to church anymore. You stop reading your Bible. You're not praying anymore. Then, you start living more worldly. You'll start allowing sin in your life that you wouldn't have done before. You know, well, everybody else is doing it. You see what I'm saying? Little by little, and believe me, no one is immune to it. That's why the Bible says, let us draw near to God. You know, there is this fight, fight the good fight of faith. There is a road that we are on, man, and there is a goal, amen? And there is a prize at the end. And if you do nothing, it's you're on this big path, like the yellow brick road. Claudia had that on the other day, The Wizard of Oz, the yellow brick road, and she was going, how clean these movies are and all this, or how innocent. Well, there was a witch in there, but thank God she melted, when they threw water on her. But we're on this path, and we get born again, man, we've got this fire, right? If you think about it, when you first got saved, I don't know how many people's experience was like mine, but it was so life-changing, the difference between night and day. And man, I was on fire for God, and you have this love for the Lord and so on. You're on that path, and you're going down that path serving God, and you just love Him. But then there's all these little trails, man. You've got to watch out for them because they want to, there's things that try to entice you to, go off, get off that, get your eyes off the prize and to take these, like the little thing, the little devil that's whispering in your ear, hey, I don't need to do that. I don't need to pray. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read my Bible and so on and so forth. And pretty soon you start going down this other road, which is the exact opposite of what you should be doing. Isn't that right? The idea is draw near to God with a sincere heart. Amen? Let us draw. That means you've got to do something. You have to. You can't be passive, right? The old devil's out there. He's going to try to steal you away from God. He's going to try to get you, whisper in your ear, to take this other trail. You don't need to do this. You don't need to go to church. Christianity is really a relationship with God. Did you ever think about it like that? Father God, the Son Jesus, the children. We're the children, right? It's a relationship with God, really. That's what Christianity is. It's a relationship with God. Your Father. Amen? And Jesus, your Lord. And we're the children, We're God's children. See, it's like a family, The Father, the Son, the children. It's a relationship. And we have to maintain that relationship. We've got to, fan the flames. We have to do things because if we don't, we're going to kind of drift away and things are going to get real dull and boring with God. We have to stir ourselves up. We've got to, like it says here, draw near to God, right? That implies action on your part. Isn't that not right? When I first got in the ministry, I had no intentions of getting in the ministry. That's the last thing I ever thought about. And matter of fact, I got born again. Man, it just had such a transformation. That's all I cared about was the Lord. It just changed my life so much. And, you think you're so unworthy and whatever, I had a sort of a bad self-image and different things and thought I was a black sheep in my family, and whatever. I had an application to go to Rhema for 5 years, and I had it, and I wanted to go so bad, and I thought, they would never take me, because I was my back past history in my life, and, they wouldn't take a person like me, That's what I thought. And, but then after, as a matter of fact, we moved back to, I quit my job here, and moved back to St. Louis, Missouri, and I had no intentions of going to Bible college. That never entered my mind. I was just going to go back because our kids were back there and our family and everything. And we get back there, and the first thing the Lord does is, well, Rhema has a get acquainted day or weekend. And now we're only 5 hours from Tulsa or something, a Broken Arrow, right? And it was real clear we were supposed to go down there. So we drove down there for that weekend. You know, Brother Hagin talks to you, and you see the school, and you have a big picnic and all this. And, man, that was a done thing, man. When we did that, we knew that was, you know, you just take it a step at a time, see. If God shows you the big picture all at one time, it'll scare the heck out of you. You never will do it. But I thought, well, I'm going to go. I thought, you know, I can teach a better Bible study, you know, things like that. I had no intentions whatever of trying to be a minister. I thought, you know, I'm about the least qualified person in the world. I mean, I could never be a pastor, you know. But anyway, you know, God gets a hold of you. If you just cooperate with him, it's amazing what he will do. And one day, you know, sitting in class, I thought, man, that's what God is going to do to me. I know it, you know. That's what he wants me to do. And you know, so you just go with God. And, he has to work it out, you know, because you only have, you know, it's not by power or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord, right? So you just have to go with God. And I remember sitting there going, you know, I decided, well, okay, I'll go with what I felt in my heart that God wanted me to do. But then you stop and think, gosh, you're gonna, you know, if you're the pastor of the church, you got to be there every Sunday. You know what I mean? Well, I can't just take off and go swimming and fishing and boating and doing everything I want to do. You're kind of locked in. You know what I'm saying? You are locked in. You are committed. And it ain't just Sunday, because you got a lot of other things you got to do. You got to study. You got to get prepared. You got to think about this and pray about this and go visit people at the hospital or your Bible studies and healing schools. And there's a lot of commitment there, you know. And I thought, well, you know, what am I going to do with my life if I don't do that? And I thought, well, you know what? I am going to commit to God. And if that means most of my week is taken up with God and doing things for God, then so be it. Amen? Because that's my future. I don't want to be pulled away by the glitter and all the stuff of the world, you know, because it's easy to do. And so I'm going to be locked in. I'm going to be committed to God. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, just forget about God and go move out into the Ozark somewhere, you know, and live in a little cabin. I'm going to be committed to serving God. Amen. That's what I decided in my heart, that that's what I was going to do. And, you know, not everybody's called into the ministry, but you've got to make that commitment in your heart, man. I am committed to God. My life is going to be, you know, I'm going to work. I'm going to have a family and kids, and I'm going to do the things. But, you know, the center of my marriage and my life is going to be God. I'm going to serve him, right? And have that attitude as whatever the Lord wants, I surrender to it, and I will do it. I will do it. I'll follow him. Amen? But, you know, the scripture, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, you know. I don't know how many times I've preached sermons, and then later on the Lord said, well, you're a hypocrite, Vic. you know, because you preach something, this and that, and he'll show me where I didn't do that in my personal life in some instance, you know. Well, if you're preaching it and you're not doing it, then that makes you a hypocrite, right? Oh, God, forgive me, you know, and then you try to repent of it, and, you know. Doesn't mean because you're a preacher that you're perfect, right? You got the same problems and the same deal that everybody else has. But you got to be open to God to let him show you, you know. And sometimes, you know, I'm probably not the only one, you know. We tell people this, we tell people that, and then we'll, you know, sometimes do something different, you know, or we won't uphold what we're telling other people to do. You got to be, you know, and boy, I you just want a heart to where you can learn. God, you can show me. I'll try to change. I'll try to be more like Jesus, right? That's the goal. But we want to draw near to God. We don't want to go in the other direction, like stop coming to church, stop reading your Bible, stop praying. And one of the big things is coming to church and fellowshipping, you know? Grace Bible Fellowship, you know? You need to be around other Christians. You don't want to be isolated, you know, the lone wolf deal. That's not a good way to go. It's better, you want to be around other Christians. You may be the answer to their prayer, you know. I remember once, and I'm not picking on April, but this was probably a couple years ago, but she wasn't going to come to church because your washer or dryer or something broke down, and you guys were going to try to get one that day. And I says, no, I says, listen, trust God and come to church. And so she came to church anyway, and we brought it up. And I said, well, you know, April, by the way, April needs a washer or a dryer, whatever it was, you know. And Linda was sitting over there. She goes, I got one. I got an extra one sitting in my garage, you know. Boom. God just, I mean, it was so beautiful the way it worked, right? Was it a dryer? Okay. And here Linda had one, worked fine. Boom. Gave it, you know. I don't know if you guys picked it up the same day or what, but your problem solved. It's like, hey, if there's problems, you still come to church because God is the answer to your problems. Amen? But it was so neat to see how that worked. You know, it's just, you know. And then that is so important. Let us draw near to God. That implies action on your part. You have to keep the fire going. You cannot go with the flow of the world and the way the world is going, because it's going down, down, down. It's not going to make it. The world system is absolutely opposed to God. You know, the God of this world, it says, the scripture that we talked about here a couple weeks ago says, don't love anything in the world. Right? And if you do, the love of God is not in you. This is a serious thing. Okay, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? You understand that? We're our citizenship and our home is in heaven. We're here until our bodies finally wear out, right? And they will wear out unless we get raptured, okay? You can't just keep praying and getting new body parts to live forever. I have figured that out. You understand? We can still pray and get healing over different things, but I figured out, you know, I cannot pray and say, Lord, I need new legs, I need new hips, I need new eyes, I need new hands, and keep getting this miracle, all new body parts, and live to be 1,000 years old. That is not going to happen, right? Our bodies are going to wear out. That's just, you know, but we still can get our healing from sickness and diseases. But it doesn't say that you're immune to aging, okay? We will age. You might notice anybody, has you noticed anybody stopped aging? Dale, have you? No, I haven't. So we're not going to stop aging, right? But we can come against sickness and disease that attacks our body. If it's not time for us to go, you know, you're a young, healthy person and your husband needs you and all that, you got, no, you know, hey, get rid of that devil and cast him out. Amen? Or believe God. And then it says in 10:23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, right? Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Okay, we need to confess it, you know, hold fast to our confession in Christ. But not only that, we need to live it, okay? That's where it's really at. Not just coming to church on Sunday and agreeing with the pastor and getting some goosebumps, hopefully, and going home. It's what you do after you leave church. How am I living my life, right? Am I living my life to the glory of God? Am I obeying the commands of the Lord? You know, is there a lot of worldly sin and things in my life that I need to get rid of? You know, well, you wouldn't be the first Christian that needed to get rid of some stuff. We all need to get rid of some stuff, right? And all you can do is start where you're at. Amen? This is important. Till we have to just live it, not just talk about it. Say, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. We have to live our lives. Amen? That in a way that pleases God. Amen? Avoid the sins. Love your neighbor. Love is one of the biggest things. We have people that do things to us that we just want to choke. Okay, the devil's got you right where he wants you. What does Jesus say to do? Love your enemy. Do good to those who spitefully use you. There will people that will do things to you and say things to you They know how to press your button. I mean, the devil knows how to press your button, right? I have been through this, and I can tell you this, the Word of God works. You know, because the Scripture says, love never fails. If you will obey God and walk in love towards that person who's done this to you, you will win, man. You watch God do what He's going to do, okay? You just obey. That's your responsibility, is to obey God, love that person, and I know it can be hard. It's like you're gritting your teeth and, you know, and trying to do something good for this, but I can tell you this, you sit back and you watch God move. I've been there more than once. I didn't do it because somebody preached a sermon about it. I just followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in my heart. You know, I told this story I don't know how many times, but I guess God lets it happen so, you know, I can have something to talk about, you know, on Sunday mornings. But I was working, living in Silverton, and I was working in Salem and in a machine shop, and everybody in the place got a raise except for me. Okay, now how would you feel if everybody at the company got a raise but you, right? Oh man, I mean that would hurt. It hurt me, it really did, because I didn't know the reason why. You know what I'm saying? Nobody tells you anything. It's everybody's walking around, we all got a raise, they're all happy. And I was sitting there at lunch. We had picnic tables in this upstairs room. We were all sitting there. And a guy across from me, who was a Marion County Deputy Sheriff Reserve guy, he was a cop. I mean, you know, he leans over and he's right across from me. He goes, how much of a raise did you get, Vic? And I says, well, I didn't get any. I didn't get a raise. And everybody stopped. And this guy just busts out laughing. It was hilarious. Okay, and I was kind of heartbroken, you know what I'm saying? He just laughs right in my face, just, oh man, I was so angry, and I was hurt, right? But I never said a word. Somebody at the table said, somebody should punch that guy in the mouth or something, because other people were upset because he did this to me. And I was hurt, but you know, I'm committed to God, and I'm trying to get it together. How am I supposed to react to this? What should I do? And it was kind of funny when I think about it, because I would think, oh, this is how I want to get even with that guy. And then something inside goes, no, you can't do that, because, well, Jesus wouldn't like that, right? Right. Oh, so I'll scratch that off the list. And then I think of something else that I wanted to do to get even with this guy. I mean, your flesh wants the revenge, right? And I think of something else, and I kind of go down this list about how I want to get even with this guy for doing this to me, right? And every time this little voice inside goes, no, you can't do that. You can't, because Jesus would not like it, and that would go against the Scriptures, right? And I go down this whole list of things, and I was getting frustrated, but I was kind of seeing where this was all leading. And I came to the realization the only thing I could do concerning this person was to pray for him. That was the only thing that God would be pleased with. Right? Right. Boy, that totally goes against everything you're feeling inside. That you are so mad, you want your revenge, and that, you know, is so strong, it goes against your nature. Or your old nature, I should say, right? And so I started praying. I said, okay. It was the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I ever did. And I said, Lord Jesus, I said, I pray for this guy. I don't know what his name was. I said, I just pray that you would bless him. I pray that you would cause him to prosper. Lord Jesus, bless his family, his children. Just bless everything he puts his hand to. Just watch over the... Everything that I could pray that was good, that's what I prayed for that guy. Okay? And I'll tell you what, man, when I got done, all that anger, everything was completely, totally gone. I felt like a ton of bricks was off of my back. You know what I'm saying? this bitterness, this resentment, everything that was I was feeling and all this anger was totally gone. I felt so good. I really did, you know. And so the next day when I come to work, I pull into the parking lot, and this guy, he works the same shift as me. It was, I think we started at 3 or 3:30. He's coming out of the building with his lunch bucket. And I says to him, I says, hey, I says, what's going on? You going home already? You sick or something? He says, no, they just fired me. You know? And I, oh my gosh, you know? And so I didn't know what to say, so I just went on in. But you understand, I didn't take revenge or try to do my thing. You obey God and you let him handle it. Believe me, he's way more, you know, his judgments are way heavier than what mine would have ever been. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. God took care of this thing, and all I did was obey God. You understand, it's not for you to take the, whatever it is, vengeance or something. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But it showed me as like, oh man, I can really trust God, right? I can really trust my Lord. If I will obey him and let him, get the vengeance or get justice, amen, he'll do it right. You know, who knows what was going on in this guy's life? And I don't have any will towards him, because once I prayed and I got it, and I prayed to be blessed, it got rid of all that. I didn't want anything bad to happen to that guy. I would have never wanted him to be fired, I would have got over it and so on and so forth. But he knows the guy's life. He knows what needs to be done in that man's life, and he did it, but you believe me, you can trust God. He will take care. There's nothing he can't take care of, right? So we trust God and we go with him. We just obey his word. That's what he wants. That's the bottom line, is he wants you to obey him, right? Don't come up with your own plan. You go with God's plan. He wants you to obey his word, and he'll take care of the rest. You will succeed, and you will be blessed, and so on and so forth. That's why the Bible says, draw near to God. He's your source, right? You remember the teaching about the vine and the branches? Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branches are where the fruit's at, right? The vine, the branch, the fruit's not on that big, heavy vine that comes up. The branches that go out, that's where the fruit's at. Or you can look at a tree. Apples don't grow out of the side of the trunk, right? They grow on the branches. We're the branches, and that's where the fruit's at. If you separate from if the branch separates from the vine, are you going to bear any fruit? Oh, you're going to die. There's no life, right? You've got to be attached. The branch has to be attached to the tree, right? See, the same way the vine has to be attached, or the branch has to be attached to the vine. If you separate from Jesus, you got nothing going for you, right? And he says, what use are you? You throw you on the brush pile and then you get burned up, right? Jesus is our lifeline. He is everything. If we want to be blessed and prosper, we want to have protection, so on and so forth. The list is endless. He's my deliverer. He's my healer, He's my savior. It just, the list goes on. Amen. We have to remember that, stay focused. When we tend to lose that and kind of drift away down these other trails, we start losing our love for God and the things of God. He talks about in Revelation about being lukewarm. He's not happy with the lukewarm stuff. He wants people that are hot for him, right? That are hearts are for God, Like David had a heart for God. He messed up a lot, but he had a heart for God, right? That's it. You don't have to be perfect, and God knows you're not perfect. But if your heart is for God, right? Your heart is for God. That's what he's looking for. Amen? He's looking for that heart. And then, it also said in there in verse 24, it said, let us consider how we may spur one another on. Amen. That's one reason why it's a fellowship. We should be spurring one another along. Amen. Hi, bro. Hi, sister. How you doing? Praise God, man. And speak a word of encouragement to the person. The Bible says speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs, and so on and forth. Encourage one another. Somebody may come in and boy, they're just downtrodden and they're bummed out. Something happened, you know. Boy, you can give them, you can spur them on. You can encourage them and have a word for them, right? Did you know you can have a word for somebody? You may not think of yourself as a, you know, somebody that, you know, prophesies or this or that, but you can have a word. God will use anybody to have a word for somebody. A good word to encourage them, you know. Hey, you know. You know, how many here knows Colleen? You know, remember? Well, she had a terrible marriage with this guy, this muscle builder guy, you know. He was big. And they got divorced, and she was so bummed, you know, because, I don't know, like a year had gone by, and she's still single, and you know, she wanted to get married again, I could see she was really trying, you know. She kind of lost a little weight, and she comes in one day, and she goes into the kitchen. I'm standing there. Claudia's right next to me, and I just felt like something needed. I needed to encourage her, and I said, boy, Colleen, you really are looking good, you know. And because she was trying harsh because she wanted to get her another man, you know. And she never said nothing, but when she got ready to leave that day, she come up, and boy, she gave me the biggest hug. And it was like, thank you, Pastor Vic, you know, because you said that to me. It just encouraged her, and her self-image made her feel so good. And I said, boy, Colleen, you know, you sure are looking good, you know, or whatever. And man, did that make her feel good, you know. And she walked out the door, started down the sidewalk, and I was saying goodbye. And she turns around and comes back and gives me this great big hug, you know. And it was like saying, thanks, Brother Vic, you know, for that encouragement, right? And, hey, you can encourage people, man, just little things. You know, don't come to church and be isolated, right? And just be in your own little bubble, man. There's people around you that you can encourage and spur on, right? It says verse 25, it says, let us not give up meeting together, right? And I cannot emphasize enough our faithfulness towards God, okay? That would be a sign if you do that, you know. There's so much involved. In the local church, God will speak to your heart so much and minister to you that you're not getting. I mean, you can watch TV programs all you want, but man, there's something about coming to church because you took the effort to get here, right? And we worshiped God and we took up tithes and offerings and you know, hopefully the Holy Spirit is using my mouth somewhat, you know, to get ideas across and to minister to people. And so a lot of things are taking place. People get healed in church just sitting there. People's been healed sitting there right in those chairs. Never even prayed for them. A lot of people have been healed, prayed for, that, you know, I prayed for, I've been healed. Some haven't, you know, it goes on. But it's important to come to church in fellowship with other Christians. We need to learn to love each other, okay? That's what Jesus said. He said, this is how people will know, the world will know that, you know, you're Christians or you're my followers is by your love for one another, right? You need to develop a love for one another. We can have certain standards and say, well, I like people that look like this, and blah, 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 blah. But these kind of people, they got problems. Listen, I don't want nothing to do with them. Hey, man, that's a bad attitude. And that's, if Jesus had that attitude, probably most of us wouldn't be saved, right? Everybody has things that you can love about them. Amen? And besides that, there's a spirit inside that body. Amen? A new spirit. And you know what? God created them too. Amen? And we are to love them and help them. That's, you know, that could be one of our purposes in life, just to encourage on and help other people. Amen? But in one of the commentaries that I was reading, it says, on that particular scripture, it said, to neglect Christian meetings is to give up the encouragement and help of other Christians. Okay? We gather together to hear the scriptures read, and taught, and to sing and worship the Lord, and to share our faith, and to strengthen one another. See, that scripture says that. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Okay? Like I said, Christianity is a relationship. It's like a family. And when we come together, we can encourage one another. We can fellowship, and you can get to know people. Amen? I mean, it's the family of God. They are part of your family that will be for eternity in heaven. Amen? And then it says in verse 25 there, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The day of the Lord's wrath, you know. The day when everything's going to fall apart. And I think it's already getting on the edge of falling apart. Did you see what's happening in the country of Venezuela, I think it is, in South America? Does anybody pay attention to anything? The country is absolutely falling apart. They had that guy down there that, his name was Chavez or something. I think he died. He was the worst thing possible. He was just a thorn in the side of the United States. But it was this leftist, liberal government that promised the people everything forever. We're going to tax all the rich people into the ground, and then plus we got oil, so we'll use the oil revenues. Provide everything for everybody. You don't have to worry about it forever, man. Well, it's all bombed out. Those people have, one day a week, man, they have the waters turned on. Okay? They're showing them rioting in the streets. A food truck comes down the road, mobs run out, and they stop the truck, and they take everything. It's just like they're losing their grip on everything down there. I mean, it's going to turn into absolute chaos and anarchy. This is just one country. I thought those people were educated and had something, you know. But it can be spreading all over. But it's such a disaster what is happening, you know, just south of the border from the United States, you know. People literally, you know, it said they used to stand in lines for hours to get food. Now it's mob the supermarket or stop the trucks right on the road and just strip it clean from any kind of food or anything. You know, it's that bad. It's mob violence. It's extremely bad what's happening down there. And, you know, this stuff can spread from those countries down there. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. I'm not trying to do a scare thing, but, you know, that Zika virus that's going on, they're warning people about that. It's called a Zika. It's a mosquito. And it bites. And the danger is women, it affects their unborn babies if they're pregnant. And, you know, you see pictures of these babies and their heads are like misshapen and they're real, it's messed up, you know. Yeah, and it's really, really bad. And it's like they want to even talking about, see, they're supposed to have the Olympics down there. They're talking about changing that, you know, and this and that. But it's, there are these plagues and stuff. But there's all kinds of things happening, even in our own country. You know, it's getting crazy. So you kind of see all these things taking place. It says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some of us are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Okay? We have to live, the fact of the matter is, we have to live every day as though the Lord could come back tomorrow. You cannot live any other way. You can't live your life thinking, I've got 30 years or 50 years or he's not coming back in my lifetime. There's too many stories and parables in the Bible about people that were doing that kind of stuff. That were, you know, their master went away and came back unexpectedly, right? The 10 virgins, you know, 5 were ready, 5 weren't. It just goes on and on and on. You, unfortunately, well, I wouldn't say unfortunately, the only way that you can be safe is to live every day for the Lord, being very careful what you do, as though the Lord could come back tomorrow or the next day. You know what I'm saying? That's the way you really have to live your life. To live it any other way is pretty dangerous. In other words, well, the Lord's not coming back for a couple of years, so I think, you know, I'm going to slide off into the world and I'm going to live a worldly lifestyle, okay? In the hopes that Jesus isn't coming back. That's a dangerous thing to do. We need to avoid sin like the plague and live for the Lord, right? As though, what do you want to be doing when Jesus comes back, right? Do you want to be sitting down in a movie theater watching an X-rated movie and, you know, here comes Jesus, right? Whoops, not too good. Or well, you don't have to go to a theater. How about at home or on the computer or, you know? Are you mistreating somebody? Are you being evil? Are you cheating, you know? Are you stealing from your job? You know, there's all kinds of stuff, you know? Is that what Jesus, do I want to be living and doing those things, living kind of a sinful worldly lifestyle when Jesus comes back, or I want to be ready, right? Those, like those 10 virgins, man, there were five of them were ready and prepared, right? The five of them weren't. And the five that weren't, they didn't even get to go into the wedding feast or whatever it was, right? They weren't allowed in, even though they went there and banged on the door and said, hey, I don't know you, you know. So you want to be ready. You've got, that's the only way you can live your life, is though the Lord may come back tomorrow, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the attitude. I mean, and you think about it, because this is the way it was back in the book of Acts. You know, they were living like, and they thought Jesus was coming back right away, right? Well, it's been 2,000 years. You know what I'm saying? But they had to live their lives as though he was coming back at any time. There's no other way. It don't take much. You are not immune. Remember what I said in the beginning about this apostasy and this falling away? Don't think that anyone, any individual is immune from this. We are seeing this worldwide, and it's an epidemic of people falling away from the God and from the church, okay? Their relationship with Jesus, okay? They're falling away. They're going into worldly lifestyles and stuff. God means very little to them anymore. They don't have time for God. There's no real love there, right? The love that you had, you know, your first love, it's gone, man. They don't have it, see? No one is immune from it. So you have to look at what are the first symptoms? What are the first steps or symptoms to doing this, falling away? You know, if you look at yourself and honestly and examine yourself, you'll say, hey, are any of the first signs there in my life, right? Have I stopped reading my Bible? Do I pray at all? Do I, you know, come to church? Do I bring a tithe and offering or whatever, you know what I mean? You start looking. Are any of these symptoms, have I started to veer off, you know what I mean? Am I drawing nearer to God, or I'm kind of pushing God away and going in a different direction, see? Right? It's all right there, you know. The Bible says, let us encourage one another. Amen? Draw near to God. The book of Hebrews encourages readers to draw near to God with four characteristics, with a sincere heart. No phony baloney, right? God knows if you really got a sincere heart, you really have the love for God. We do not want to come half-heartedly or with improper motives or pretense, but with pure, undivided, and sincere worship. We can know if we have a sincere heart if we evaluate our thoughts and our motives according to his word. That's how you can tell. That's what you compare yourself against. You don't do it, compare yourself to somebody else. You compare yourself against the word of God, right? What does the word say? What's my heart supposed to be like? What are my motives? How am I supposed to live my life, you know? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay. Draw near. Let us draw near to God. This apostasy and this phony thing, the reason I'm talking about it, because it is a real danger to everyone, to every Christian, to everyone. Okay. You understand? That's why I'm talking about it. The Bible talks about it in the end times. I believe we're in the end times, right? And it talks about this apostasy and this falling away. It's talking about false teachers and all kinds of false doctrine. You know, if it feels good, do it. You don't got to worry about it. You're covered, you know. Man, the Bible, that don't jive with what the Bible says. Run from sin, right? So on and so forth. Every individual, the Lord said, don't think you're immune from it, that you're so spiritual that you can never be affected by it. We are all can be at risk if we're not careful. That is the trend of the whole world. And if you're not careful, you get swept up in the current and just right on down the river, see. You have to, and like I said, draw near. That's action on your part. You have to take steps to ensure that you're not going that way. You take steps to make sure you are drawing closer to God. What can I do to, if I see myself drifting away from God and my love of God, that means, you know, too much of the world has gotten into my life. All you got to do is spend a little bit of time in the Word of God, reading it, and all of a sudden, man, your heart, your spirit is charged up, and you're feeling really good for God, you know, and you're just loving God, and His Word is something supernatural about it. It just charges your battery, your spiritual battery up. It's just wonderful. Spend some time in prayer. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Tell Him your problems, and He's there. He's got the answers. Amen? Amen. Worship Him, so on and so forth. You have to draw closer to God, not get caught up in the currents of the world and be pulled away, okay, into this falling away, this big thing. And it's strong, man. This whole delusion and the power, you know, Satan and the way he's run this world, this is a very strong, I don't know what you would call it, but it's a powerful force that's just causing people to just turn against God in their hearts, you know. And we've got to be careful, okay? This apostasy stuff isn't just for somebody else. It's a danger to everybody, and we have to guard against it. Praise God. Remember, in conclusion, I got a thing here. Remember, the idea is to draw near to God. Amen? Would you guys agree with me? And that means action on your part. Look at yourself. Compare yourself, you know, to the Word. Am I getting off the trail? Am I, you know, is the things of God becoming less and less important to me? You know? We need to pursue Him. We need to seek to know Him better and to have a heart for God. Amen? A sincere, true heart. So, to stop attending church regularly, to stop reading your Bible, stop praying, stop fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters would be taking steps in the wrong direction or the opposite direction, right? Now, some people may not even have been reading their Bible, you know? Well, maybe the big step for you would be to start reading your Bible, right? You say, you know, well, when I get up in the morning, I want to do this, this, and this. Well, the best thing to do is get you a coffee or whatever you do, you know, slosh some in your eyeball sockets. And, you know, just say, God, you know, and start talking to God. Read your Bible, whatever. You have something. Get some spiritual input into your life. Start your day like that, right? You might have a certain time when you can pray during the day or, you know, if you can just read a chapter or some part of Scripture, God will speak to you, amen, and it will make it a better, much better day for you. And you have not excluded God from your day, amen? Remember, He's our Father. This is a family, a relationship, right? And He's the one who has the keys to heaven and hell, and He decides everything for eternity, right? Hey, I think we ought to suck up to the Father a little bit, right? Amen? You know, if your dad was Bill Gates or some millionaire, you'd probably want to be buddies with him, right? So he puts you in the will, you know. The message really is talking to all of us. As I said, no one is immune from this, right? And believe me, there is an enemy. Why do we have to fight this fight? See, the test is not over with. We're in this world. We're running this race, and it's still ongoing until we get out of here, right? Until we changed and we're in heaven, we're free from the dangers of this planet and Satan and all this stuff. We're still in the fire, man. We're still in the kind of the testing grounds in a sense. There's people who's lived 20, 30 years as a Christian and then just walked away and blew it, you know? Just gave it up. They didn't finish the race. They just turned on the Lord and went back to their old lifestyle. I've read stories. People are doing it all the time. That's what the apostasy and the falling away is all about. The church falling away. See? That people that maybe have been going to church all their life. And now all of a sudden God, you know, I don't hear about God anymore. I'm, you know. It's like this big delusion and this big lie. It's so powerful, you know, this deception. That's what the enemy's good at. We must actively pursue our relationship, not on just on Sundays, but every day. The world will just suck all the joy of the Lord right out of you. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And when all your joy starts being tied up in worldly stuff, then, you know, there's no joy in the Lord, because all your joy is in worldly things, you know. Video games, you know, material things, new car, new truck, you know, it could be anything, right? All your joy and everything is involved in that. What happened to the joy you had in the Lord who died for you that saved your soul, right? That's keeping you out of hell for eternity. We have to finish the race, right? We have to hold fast and finish the race. There's the prize, there's everything, but, you know, we're still in that. As long as you're in this body, on this earth, you will be attacked by the enemy. The Bible says he's like Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion, right? Prowling around, seeking whom he may destroy. We have an enemy, right? But we have the greater one in us. But we're not totally immune from attack and all this stuff. None of us are. We should never get to think we're so spiritual. Oh, that apostasy and all this other stuff's for other people. I'm so spiritual, can't I? No, don't ever get that place. Be on your guard all the time. Amen? And listen to what it says. Draw near to God. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. That's because we have an enemy arrayed against us. We got to run the race. There's a prize. There's a goal. And you know what? Life is a serious thing. It's not just a big old party, right? Remember, we have a Savior who has provided everything we need.
Amen.
Amen? To be victorious and overcome in this life. Satan cannot overcome you unless you let him. Amen? Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. Amen? And Jesus has warned us about being lukewarm. Is that right? Amen. We don't want to be lukewarm. Amen? We want to draw near to God and stoke the fire. Amen? Hey, here's a wild thought. Why don't you let God use you? Amen? And serve God in different ways. Amen? That's a new thought. Amen? Go on the offensive with the Lord. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone need prayer or have a good report they'd like to share this week? Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's a big deal.
It is, because I was thinking for like a year about it. It's going to happen this year. We're going to get the God's improvised in the country. We're going to have a well, and we're going to be on the country. And, you know, I spoke it over and over and over and over and over. And you know what? It happened. It didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen, but it happened in the way that God provided it for us, in the way he provided it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, kind of the setting was you kind of had the landlord from hell or whatever. I mean, excuse the language, but she was, I mean, just walk in your house just about and this and that. And her kids, they knew you're Christian, and her kids come over and go, "We worship Satan." Isn't that right? You know, isn't that nice? And all the things that, you know, you guys have gone through, I'm just glad you're out of there. Praise God. Amen. And it's what you wanted. It's kind of out in the country, and you can breathe a little bit, you know, and you don't have the landlord next door to you. All right. So praise God. That's good. I mean, God did. It's what, you know, the Lord will give us the desires of our heart. Amen. But we need to be obeying the Lord and faithful to him. Amen. You know, God rewards obedience. Amen. That's the key. You know, he doesn't reward disobedience, but we'll be faithful to God and honor him and obey him. He will give you the desires of your heart. He really will. Anyone else want to share anything? Okay. Anyone need prayer today? Jesus is still in the healing business. Amen. Okay. Well, let's thank you, Lord, for that message. You know, every one of the messages that I teach is for me as it is as much for you. Okay. And when the Lord says, oh, you hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, you know, you better change what you're doing, brother. Amen. Father, we thank you for today for this message and this warning and this encouragement, Lord. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just remind each and every one of us, Lord, about how we live our lives every day and to just be on guard and how we need to draw nearer to God as even, you know, as we see the day approaching and the dark times that we must actively pursue our relationship with you. And we just pray that you would help us in this area, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.